News Talk's Executive Chair.
Thanks to Skillnet Ireland, driving business success through innovative training and upskilling.
And I'm delighted to welcome to the Executive Chair this week, Karen Clintz. She's the CEO of Tigers Childcare, and that's a childcare facility with 12 branches right across the country and indeed in the UK. Karen, you're very welcome to the programme.
Thank you for having me.
Not at all. Now, tell us a little bit about your early days. Am I right in saying that you grew up in Australia? Your father worked in the TV business?
That's right. He worked in the TV industry. He would have worked in RTE and BBC and ITV freelancing. So he specialised in sound, and we emigrated across to Australia and spent a couple of years there.
Right.
So I came back in fifth class, back into primary school over in Dublin. But I'd had, yeah, a few years in Australia as a child. All right.
Okay. Now, you left school, did a diploma in marketing, but you ultimately became a special needs teacher before embarking on this entrepreneurial journey.
Yeah, I suppose I always had an interest in children. But when I was in school, I wanted to do something, obviously, that would inevitably leave me earning a good wage. And I knew probably teaching wasn't the thing to do. And so I decided I would do marketing. I loved business in school, so I would go and do that after. And I went into the college course in that and started working in a software house. And I absolutely hated it.
Right.
You know, it was like, I thought it was like, is this going to be what I do forever? And I really didn't want it to be. So I got let go, made redundant in the first dot-com bust. And at that time, I was actually pregnant with my first child. I was young, I was 21. And I kind of thought I have to do something that's going to suit me as a mum, but obviously, you know, bring in a wage as well. And so I said I would do something that I really enjoyed. So I started, I did a special needs course, and I started to be a special needs teacher in a school in Glasnevin. And I absolutely loved that. And I kind of knew then at that stage that working with children was probably something that I was going to do forever.
Okay.
I never thought it would become a business that it was, but I started my first after school club in that school.
Isn't that fantastic? And when did your sister Susan join you? Was that in the early days?
So Susan joined me actually twice. So she
right.
came in.
Good. We talked about family businesses earlier. That's one of the things that could happen. Yeah.
Yeah. So she joined me in the early days. Came and looked at. It was actually at the time I had my second son. Came in and I kind of needed somebody to do a role of a bit of a PA, but probably give me a hand to having another young baby as well. And so she came on and she did that role for a couple of years. And then she left and did her own thing. And then as the business grew, I really needed her back. And so I kind of said, Susan, will you please come back and help me?
Right.
So she came back, I suppose, at a time that the company was growing quite quickly then. And I suppose myself and my sister are very, very different. I come up with the ideas and then she organises how to make the ideas happen.
Well,
she's very much the organisation.
Opposites really work in the sense, and we were just talking about that in our book, in our earlier piece there, about the different types of characters and how the chemistry can work differently. Tell me then about, you grew the business organically, but the acquisitions of Bright Horizons, that sort of brought you to a whole new level.
It did, and I think it gave us an opportunity. Like, we were growing organically, and it's easy to open kind of one business at a time and to put all the effort into that new one and to put in the ethos and everything else. But to take a business that was floundering, so had really low occupancies, had parents that really weren't that happy, had colleagues that really weren't that happy, and be able to turn it around. I think, as well as, you know, I suppose putting us into a space where people were looking at us, it also gave us the opportunity to be able to prove that we could take something and turn it around.
Yeah.
And project manage it out of that. And I suppose it gave us an appetite then that actually we had taken on these three centres, which at that time was doubling our business size in one fell swoop. And to be able to manage it and to turn it around and to do it quite quickly, we kind of knew we had quite a good team then behind us.
Yeah, great. Can I ask you about the here and now then, Karen? Very challenging out there. You know, lockdowns, no schools, open for healthcare workers only. Tell us about your world, because you're somebody who operates 12 places. So I think your insight would be interesting in relation to where the sector is at now.
Yeah, I think it's very challenging times. I think it's a sector that's, I suppose, there's a lot of unrest in it, and that's for many different reasons. I suppose we're operating in two countries, so it's very different in those countries. In the UK, we're fully operational to all children.
Are you? Right.
And in Ireland, we're obviously only open to frontline workers and vulnerable children. I think it's really challenging at the moment. We're not getting any extra funding in order, you know, so we've had to hand back fees to parents, which was, it was 100% the right thing to do when they're not using services. However, you know, there's a gap to be filled in regard to funding to keep us sustainable. And at the moment, we don't have any of that funding. There's no extra funding. And suppose that's caused a huge amount of unrest.
Yeah.
Because there are different types of services. So there's some services that are closed today who are receiving all of their funding while being closed. And I suppose we're in a very profitable position. And then the private services who've had to remain open are the ones actually open at a loss. So there's a lot of unrest about that.
So are you saying that you could be closed and profitable and open and losing money? That's kind of the reality.
Yes, that's the reality of it.
Wow.
Yeah, so if you have a funded preschool service, just a sessional service that provides the free preschool year, 100% of your funding comes through government subsidy, and those services have been asked to remain closed. So those services are sitting closed with every bit of their outgoings covered, whereas private services, it's only about 20% of our funding that comes from government, 80% is private. So we're open. We have to open all of our services. We're not allowed to close them. Government will take away our funding if we close a service. So we have to remain open with 100% of our colleagues and work every single day on 20% of the income.
Looking at the business or the sector as an outsider, Karen, it's a challenging space because it's highly regulated. It's perceived as high cost for the users, but there's a reason for those high costs because you're forced to have, you know, staff baby ratios and all that kind of thing. So it seems to be challenging to make work for anybody in the sense that high cost, and then we're always hearing comparisons about how it's so much better in other countries. But I often wonder about that.
Like, yeah, you know, you can look to countries like Scandinavia, but you can't have a Scandinavian model in Ireland because we just don't have the taxation system for it. I think there's been huge work in the industry. And so we now have an industry that actually, say, from a quality perspective, is really strong. Our colleagues are really qualified. We know exactly what we're doing, and outcomes for children are really good. And I think that's something to be really proud of as a country. And it's taken a long time to get there. But what we don't have is the funding to support that. So that type of quality education costs money.
Right.
And obviously that's why it's expensive to the end user. Families can't pay anymore. So the only way to keep the sector afloat, to make sure that our colleagues have the correct wages, is continued government support. So at the moment, about 0.4% of GDP is spent in early years education, and the OECD average is about 0.8%. Now, we obviously at the moment, we're getting extra funding in the way of the wage subsidy support scheme. And what we're asking is that actually when the sector goes back to normal, that we continue to keep that. And we would like to see that going towards our colleagues' wages so that we can have a proper, proper remuneration for our colleagues, and we can keep that quality in the services.
Unfortunately, though, the sort of historical evidence of industries that are part government funded doesn't tend to find its way to where it was originally intended. Mm-hmm.
I think that can happen, and I think that's why I think as providers we should be asked to sign up to a wage scale. So
right.
There's a proper apportioned wage scale, and I mean there are ways to do it. So as a parent at the moment, it's quite confusing. If you go to choose childcare and you go online and you look at the regulated reports, it's actually quite difficult, you know, to be able to decipher what is actually a really high quality service versus a poor service. So what we're saying is actually those reports should be rated, you know, from an excellent down to an inadequate, so that there's a push for quality still, so that all services will be pushing to be either good or excellent.
Yeah.
And that it would unlock extra funding then. So if you kept your service up to a certain scale, then you could, you know, link into funding that would have to go towards staffing. And you would be signing up to a wage scale so that, you know, as a provider, you're forced to make sure that your colleagues are remunerated correctly.
Okay. And just very finally then, are you optimistic then when this settles down that, again, you can go back to growing the business and returning to profitability?
We are optimistic. I think there are going to be opportunities for, and look, if nothing else, the epidemic has shown how important childcare is in regards to the economics as a whole of the country. But I think, you know, if we need government to be on side. We need them to understand what the issues are within the sector and to work with the providers.
Well, look, we wish you well. Karen Clinster, CEO of Tigers Childcare, thanks very much for joining me this morning.